So let's review. The Gemara cites a brisa that expounds halachas regarding the Omer by contrasting two psukim. One pasuk says, "V'svartem lechem imachras haShabbos, miyema b'yachem es'ema tenufa." The first day that we can begin to count spheres of Omer is the day that the minchas of Omer is brought. While another pasuk says, "Mehochal chemish b'kama tachelis per shiva shavuos," we begin to count immediately upon harvesting the Omer. Therefore, we must count and bring the Omer the same day that it is harvested. Furthermore, the pasuk says, "Sheva Shabbos is tamimis tiyena," to count 7 full weeks. And Amos at the Meitzah Sheva Shabbos is Temimis, Bezman Shad Amaschal Limonis Men Be'erev. In order to count full weeks, we must begin counting the night before. Additionally, since the Pasuk says Meyem HaBeyachem, we know that the Omer must be brought during the day. In light of all the above, the Gemara concludes, Ketzira Usvira Balayla, Vahava Bayem. The Omer is cut and we begin counting at night, but the Omer is brought the following day. The Gemara explains the mitzvah of counting. Mitzvah Lemimne Yemi U Mitzvah Lemimne Shvui. One should count the days and the weeks. However, a memer money yemi, the lay money shvui, amar zech le mikdashu. A memer counted the days, but not the weeks, because the mitzvah nowadays is merely a remembrance to the mitzvah of when the emer was brought, and so a partial counting is sufficient. Mishnah continues, describing how the emer was prepared. Zok the Mishnah, Ketzru v'nesnu b'kupes hevi'uhu l'azar. They harvested the grain, put it into baskets, and brought it to the azar. And the Tanakhama, identified in the Braisa as Remeir, says, "Vayimahavin oisli ba'ur k'delekayim by mitzvahs kali." It was toasted over the fire while still in the stalks, and then threshed. However, v'chacham ma'imer b'konim u'b'kalachas chayvten oisli k'dei shalo yismaich. It was first threshed to separate the kernels, and they used soft reeds and stems in the threshing process so as not to crush the kernels. Nesnu la'avuv v'avuv hayim menukav k'dei shehu'ur shaylet b'kulei. The kernels were then placed in a perforated pipe so that the fire would toast them evenly. They were then spread out in the azara and the wind would blow over them to dry them completely. They were then placed in a bean mill, which grinds coarsely, leaving the bran in large enough pieces to be sifted out. And they would sift the flour with 13 sieves to extract an isar in the fine flour. The Gemara cites a related brisa which explains the pasuk of Minchas Ha'emer Parshas VaYikra, which reads as follows: "Vim takrav Minchas Bikurim LaHashem Aviv Koloi Ba'esh Geres Karmel Takrav Es Minchas Bikurecha." Aviv ze Aviv. Aviv refers to the first grain. Koloi Ba'esh Malamet Shayisra Mahavin Leisa Ba'esh Kedei Lekayim by Mitzvahs Koloi Divrei Meir. Koloi means that the stalks were toasted over the fire. However, Chacham Ha'emer Ein Ur Loshen Koloi El Dava Achar. Kali does not refer to kernels toasted directly over the fire, but indirectly by means of an avuv, the perforated pipe mentioned above. The Braisa continues, Aviv Kalui Geras. The pasuk refers first to grain, and then to flour, and in between mentions toasting it. Therefore, in the Yedea, Im Aviv Kalui, Im Geras Kalui. We don't know if the kernels or the flour is toasted. However, Kishu Aimer Be'esh Hifsika Inyan. The pasuk says Kalui Be'esh, indicating that the kernels are toasted in fire. The Braisa continues, Karmel Rach Umal. Karmel refers to grain that is soft and crushable. Alternately, Karmel Karmale, Karmel refers to a full pillow, meaning that the kernels are completely ripe and fill the full interior of the husks. Mishnah concludes, V'ashar nifta b'nechel l'chalodim, v'chay b'chalo u'pata min ha'maisa. The remaining flour is redeemed from hektish and may be eaten by anyone. And one is obligated to separate challah when mixing dough from this flour, but it is exempt from ma'aser, because as Rashi explains, it is obligated in challah because chiyuv challah hainu gilgal de'isa, but gilgal shalzu b'yad hedjidhu. The obligation of challah takes effect when it is mixed into a dough, and this happens after the flour is redeemed from hektish. However, it is exempt from ma'aser because meiruach hu b'yad hektish, u meiruach hektish pata mi ma'aser. The obligation of ma'aser takes effect when the grain is fully processed after meiruach, when the piles are smoothed down, and the grain belonged to Hektish at that time. However, the Mishnah continues, Rabbi Kiva Machayim b'chala u'b'maisus. Rabbi Kiva holds that it is obligated in chala and maiser. At first, the Gemara explains, Eima Rabbi Kiva, meruach Hektish ain't a peter. Rabbi Kiva holds that grain that belonged to Hektish during meruach does not become exempt from maiser. However, the Gemara refutes this explanation from the following braisa, where the Chacham defended their position. Amru loy, paida miyad gizbo yechiach, shechay b'chala u'patam in ha'maisus. If one redeems grain from Hektish, it is obligated in challah, but exempt from Maaser. Similarly, the remaining flour used for the Omer should be exempt from Maaser. Now, im isa de meruach Hektish ain't a peiter, my kamrile, hee. If Rabbi Kiva's reasoning is that grain that belonged to Hektish during meruach does not become exempt from Maaser, then what was the Chacham's challenge? This is the identical case to the one Rabbi Kiva argued. Then the Gemara cites another Braisa that gives a different explanation for Rabbi Akiva's opinion, according to which Rabbi Akiva agrees that Meruach Hekdesh Poiter Meiser, grain that belonged to Hekdesh during Meruach, does ordinarily become exempt from Meiser. However, in this case, the remainder is Chayiv Meiser because Leinitnu Mois El Letzarech Lehen. The Hekdesh funds were only given for the final Isar and the flour that would be used for the Eimer. Therefore, the remaining flour was never Hekdesh. Tesis adds, V'hodik Tani Bashar Nifta, Lesley. That which the Mishnah stated that remaining flour is redeemed reflects the opinion of the Chachamim, but according to Rabbi Akiva, the remaining flour does not need to be redeemed because it was never hektish. The Gemara digresses to discuss other scenarios where grain might be exempt from challah and maaser and cites a brayso in which this is a machlokes. Remei Rabbi Yehuda both hold, Meruach ha'ovei kochavim eina paiter. Grain that underwent meruach while owned by a non-Jew is not exempt from maaser. As they rule, Termin Mishal Yisrael Ashal Yisrael, Umishal Abdi Kuchavim Ashal Abdi Kuchavim, Umishal Kurtiyim Ashal Kurtiyim, Umishal Kol Al Shal Kol, Divrei Meir Rabbi Yehuda. One may separate Truma from the produce brought from one Jew for the produce of another Jew, from the produce of a non-Jew for the produce of another non-Jew, from the produce of a Kuti for the produce of another Kuti, and even from the produce of any of these people for the produce of any other. And the Gemara explains, because Miruch Abdi Kuchavim Ein HaPaiter. However, the Braisa continues that Rabbi Yisrael and Rabbi Shimon both hold Meruach Ha'evi Kachavim Paiter. Grain that underwent Meruach while owned by a non-Jew is exempt from Meiser. As they rule, Rabbi Yisrael and Rabbi Shimon Aimrim, Termin Mishal Yisrael Ashal Yisrael, Umishal Abdi Kachavim Ashal Kurtiyim, Umishal Kurtiyim Ashal Abdi Kachavim. Rabbi Yisrael and Rabbi Shimon both hold that one may separate Truma from the produce of a Jew for the produce of another Jew, from a non-Jew for that of another non-Jew, and from a Kuti for another Kuti. But loy mishal Yisrael ashal abdi kachav mishal ketiim, but loy mishal abdi kachav mishal ketiim ashal Yisrael. One may not separate truma from the produce of a Jew for the produce of a non-Jew or a kuti, nor from the produce of a non-Jew or kuti for the produce of a Jew, because meruach abdi kachav and paiter. This discussion continues in the next daf.